It's another episode of the LBC podcast where we explore Christian theology and practice for the building up of God's family. My name is John Harrell, and I am the worship director here at LBC. And joining me, as always, is Pastor Eric.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And also, we have Elijah Tran.
Yes.
Pushing the buttons.
Making.
How have we not gotten a camera to see him yet?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
If anyone's been tracking, they'll...
They know it's coming.
It's coming.
Okay.
It's coming. There's going to be an episode with Elijah. We just have to figure out what the topic would be. There's
so many things.
Angles.
Yeah.
To the man, the myth.
Mm-hmm. The legend. Yes.
I guess.
Well, hey, we are coming to you on your favorite podcast platform and also coming to you on YouTube on video. So... be sure and check that out if you haven't already, saying that to all of our listeners. You can log on to our YouTube page and find us on there if you want to see our faces and how we actually do this and interact with each other. You know,
people are still a little confused that you and I have faces made for radio. I think for some reason that needed an explanation.
It did.
And I feel like it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
At 43, I've made peace with...
Yeah, a long time ago. Long time ago.
With my dad bod and my...
Yeah. Well,
my
just,
balding head.
For some people, they like a visual, and it's good to know who's talking. So we do it for them, and we apologize.
I've officially reached dad mode because now I have sciatic issues.
Ooh.
I know. That just started for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and you get in and out of chairs, and you're like, that shouldn't be as hard as it is.
Yeah.
You know, all the fun stuff.
And so now I feel like I've graduated.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, yeah, also, whether people are watching or whether they're listening, they're probably sweating because summer's here in Bakersfield.
That's right.
How do you handle summer?
You would think growing up in Arizona, easy. But I have fully adapted to working in an air-conditioned building.
Yeah.
And so I walk out, and I'm like, this is miserable. Like, how do we do this?
Yeah.
So I would say not well, or it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a hoodie on, you know, or a jacket, whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get seasonal affective disorder in the summer. So I feel like it must be what, you know, people in Michigan and Minnesota feel in the wintertime.
Because
I just never want to go outside.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yep.
But I like all the activities.
Yeah. It's fun. It's true. I like going to the beach.
Yeah.
It needs to be warm to go to the beach. So, okay.
And, you know, I like going to church because that's where my family is.
Ooh, good transition.
That's a segue.
Okay.
We are coming to you guys talking about church membership. What is church membership? Why do we practice church membership here at LBC?
Yeah.
And what does that look like? But more importantly, I think one thing that I frequently hear from folks is, what does it matter whether I sign a covenant? What does it matter if I'm coming every week and if I'm putting money in the offering box? You know, what does it really matter whether or not I officially say I'm a member or not? Is it even biblical? Does it show up in the Bible? Those are things that we're going to talk about throughout this time, just in the short time that we have together. And hopefully by the end of it, I think everyone will have a bit of a better understanding of what the Bible actually says about membership, church membership,
right,
whether or not it matters. And also that people would have a better understanding of how we practice that here at LBC.
Yeah.
And how they can get involved. So that's what we're going to spend our time on right now. I think that people might be listening and thinking, man, this sounds like a boring topic, but it's pretty fascinating when you open it up and see how much evidence there is for, you know, the Bible speaking to real commitment from its people within the body of Christ.
Yeah. I think I like to give a preface. Some people, it drives people crazy. But I like to try to own the things up front that I know to be true because people, maybe you have a skeptical mind or you're like, I've never read that word in my Bible that there's church membership.
Yeah.
So we know that the word is not there, or the expressed title is not there.
Right.
But when we read scripture, it's important to see, you know, there's what's explicitly there, maybe what's versus what's implied or deductively there. And so I think what we're trying to say is when you look at the principles of scripture, membership absolutely makes sense. And I would even say in our cultural context, it makes even more sense.
Yeah.
So I want to own that up front. We know there's not chapter verse. Hey, this is where your church membership comes from.
Yeah.
But when we look at a lot of scripture and we see the design of the church, the role of the church, and the commitment to the church, It's like, oh, okay, that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Well, let me ask this question, because church membership could look different, and it does look different
uh-huh.
from denomination to denomination. It you know, there's some churches that they just say, man, if you show up at least 2 Sundays out of the month, you know, you're a regular member of this church, you know.
Right.
And there's others where, man, they've got you on an actual roll sheet.
Yep.
And if you want to change churches, you have to ask permission from this church. I mean, yep. they're hardcore about it. So there's, you know, all across the spectrum. How do we at LBC treat church membership? What does that look like? Or what does it mean, rather, to be a member at LBC?
Okay, so you want to get to the where we see it in the scripture later and just get right. Okay, fair enough. At LBC, the analogy we work with is, you know, on a holiday, you'll invite people over to your house, and there could be a lot of people. You might have a few neighbors who don't have anywhere to go. There might be some friends you have that their family couldn't make it. And then there will also be your family. And so you'll have the meal. And then after the meal comes cleanup time.
Yeah.
And so to the guest, you might say, hey, you know, sit in the living room, watch the football or baseball game, and just hang out.
Yeah.
But you might say to the family member, hey, would you do some dishes? Would you mind taking out the trash? And so there's a higher commitment level as a family member versus, hey, we love you're here, but we don't expect you to do that. Because you're not on that commitment level, or you're not family. That sounds so harsh. I'm trying to be sensitive. That sometimes I think people think, well, I've gone there a long time. Am I not family?
Right.
You know, but I think you know the difference between a really good friend, and at the end of the day, that's my brother. You know, that's my sister. Yeah, like, that's absolutely. My mom. At the end, you know what I mean? There's just a bit of a difference. And so we try to distinguish it that way. That LBC, you're saying, I'm a part of the family. Mm-hmm. And family, everyone pitches in to get all the things done. And just like any family, you have your leaders within the family. And people take direction from the leaders. And everyone participates. And people have different jobs and roles. But there's also different levels of authority.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one family, and you're trusting your leadership to move the family in the proper direction.
Yeah,
and you also play a role in that happening. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of how the language we use. And so at LBC, it's notifying us that I want to be a part of the family.
Yeah,
right. And so the family has distinctives, because you look at another church family, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think is important in our culture, is there's so many denominations and there's so many different things that it's important that you do sit down and say, what does this church uniquely believe?
Mm-hmm.
Because when becoming part of the family, you're saying, I want to join these beliefs. So that starts with like your statement of faith, right?
Yeah.
Here's the doctrine of the church. And that sounds maybe exclusive, and you can say that, but I think it's loving. Because if you believe something contrary to us in a significant way, you're going to be frustrated.
Mm.
And that's not good for you.
Right.
And it's not good for the people around you and
right.
for us. And you also want to know, like, what can I expect? And so you're kind of seeing it laid out. This is what's going to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
It also protects you that if you hear something contrary to what is written there, you have every right to say, hey, that's not what this church teaches and believes. So it acts as a protector. And then I think it also helps you fully participate, because you know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's loving to do.
Yeah.
And then it also walks through, okay, if I'm going to be a part of this family, what are the ways I can serve? How can I attach? What does it look like to give and support financially? What does it look like to go to business meetings and understand what's going on in the church and how I can support it and help it and pray for my leaders? All the things you see in scripture. So it formalizes the commitment, and it helps us know you're not just here coming on Sunday.
Right.
You know? And also in a membership interview, we kind of go through like the gospel. Like, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Do you believe?
It's kind of important.
It is, you know, and in those membership interviews, it's fascinating. You know, sometimes we'll ask someone, you know, how sure are you that you're going to heaven?
Mm.
They'll be like 80% sure. You're like, oh, okay, that's a very telling thing.
Yeah.
So then we'll follow that up with, well, okay, if you're standing at the gate and Peter asks you, why should I let you into heaven? The gates of heaven. Sorry, everybody. Mm-hmm. The gates of heaven. Why should I let you in that gate? And it's sometimes people like, well, I read my Bible. Mm-hmm. I pray. And, you know, I give faithfully. And it's like, wow, we have someone who thinks they're saved by works.
Right.
Right. And we need to go over saved by grace. So the people that become members, we're making sure they understand they're saved by grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone, you know, all the alones. And so that when they come, we've checked that.
Yeah.
Right. And then when they go to be in some type of teaching or leadership role, we know that person's been vetted. They've agreed to the doctrine, and that you can trust what's coming out of this is consistent and unified.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have someone in one camp saying, you know, I'm of John and John is like this, and I'm of Elijah and I'm of this. And it's like, well, which one do I pick? And it's like, well, our church allows all of them. Mm. And then we get camps and it's like, no, John's going to tell you the same thing Elijah's going to tell you. Just Elijah's going to be prettier than both of us when he says it.
Of course.
But he's going to say,
of course,
right, doctrinally the same thing. And so that's becoming a part of the family or membership. You're looking for that consistency, continuity, and then the last piece is like the accountability.
Yeah.
This is what I'm agreeing a Christian is, what a Christian does,
right,
and I want you to help me make sure I do that.
Yeah.
Versus someone who's just coming, we don't know that you want that accountability,
right,
that you do agree with us, what Scripture says.
There could be a whole host of reasons why you're deciding to come.
Yeah, exactly. And so in our culture, it's a way for us to know You're part of the family, and we need to treat you as such.
Good.
And that distinction, I think, is very important because you're asking for that accountability and the leadership and also to participate. And it gives us a you said covenant, right? So that's that formalizing the relationship.
Yeah.
So you see that in Scripture all over the place. They made a covenant. They made a bond. They made a pact. So they made a formal agreement. I'm going to do this and you're going to do this. And so that's the way we talk about it. I try to use the family analogy because some people tend to think it's country club or it's we get a special handshake or special garments and you know, and people have all these different maybe ideas or images or baggage from other church denomination, whatever. So we try to put it in that language, but the imagery is clear in Scripture. Right, the accountability, the authority, the participation, the serving, all the one another's, all the things in there. You can't practice those unless you have like a very formal engagement with your church body.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask this question then, because this might be on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah,
there are people who have been attending our church for years.
Yeah.
And they even, and they, you know, they tithe and give their money, and they are committed followers of Jesus Christ. And they are, you might see where I'm going with this, and, you know, and they are coming to all the things, doing all the things, and they're fully committed and they love this church, but they've never taken that step of becoming a member of LBC.
Yeah.
I guess I could hear some people asking the question of like, so really what's the difference if somebody's, you know, coming and showing up, but they refuse to, you know, become a member? Like, what's the difference really? Does it really matter?
It does matter.
Yeah.
And I don't want to press analogies too far.
Yeah.
So let me preface that. First, I'll say you've not made the formal commitment that you want to be a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Hebrews 13:17, that leaders are accountable for those they lead.
It's a big one.
We need to know who are we accountable for, you know, and we have to be invited into that process and say, okay, you're one of ours and we need to look on you and check on you and ask and see. The other is, and this is where the analogy breaks down a little bit, but it's like the difference between, well, if we're living together, why don't we just, do we really need a certificate that says we're married?
Yeah.
Right. But no, there's a formalized document that says we're in this.
The commitment matters.
The commitment matters. Yeah. And in Scripture, it talks about the bride of Christ and the church, and you kind of see that bride language.
And again, you're coming down to covenant. I
mean,
marriage
you
is
are.
A covenant relationship. It just,
I'm
keeps coming back.
Formalizing and publicly
committing
to this entity, so this church body. Mm-hmm. So you see that. So I get it. Where it breaks down is I don't want to make it sound like you're sinning, you know?
Right.
If you, because if you're living together and not married, that's a sin. That mm-hmm. might be another podcast. But, you know, so I don't want to make that analogy, but right. I'm making the point that the paper matters, right? Mm-hmm. The commitment, the public nature, the proper steps mm-hmm. of what you're communicating in that covenant, what vows mean in a marriage ceremony.
Yeah.
So I think those things are important. And I think you see them in scripture. So mm-hmm. I would encourage those people to take those steps.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that kind of leads, I guess, to the next question, which is this. I mean, everything that you're stating here, it's not LBC's idea.
Right.
And we don't claim that LBC's perspective on membership is exclusively LBC's.
Right.
We would actually say it's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as you've already said, nowhere does the Bible formally confront
yeah.
or prescribe explicitly membership, and this is right. how you do church membership. So if we're saying it's biblical and yet we don't see anything in the Bible that explicitly commands church membership, where are we pulling it from the Bible?
Yeah, yeah,
where do
that's
we see
great.
It in the Bible?
So I think first is when you look at the commands or the imperatives of Scripture. I mentioned this earlier. The one another's. Love mm-hmm. one another. Pray for
There's
one another.
A lot of them.
Forgive one another.
Yeah.
Bear one another's burdens.
Right.
Confess your sins to one another. The imagery is that you are known, right? You can't forgive people you don't know because there's nothing to forgive.
Right.
Right? Carrying other person's burdens, confessing sin. You're known, and you also know others.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you're known by a body. And then you look at 1 Corinthians, is that the body helps each other, mm-hmm. right? And each part's important. It's directed by Christ. And then you look at elders, that they're to be over this body, a plurality of qualified men.
Mm-hmm.
And they're helped teach, instruct, rebuke, even when things are taught contrary to.
Yeah.
So you see formalized structure is my point. You see deacons. Deacons are to serve and they're to help execute the duties. So the elders and pastors keep praying and ministering the word of God. You have older pouring into younger.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these roles, responsibilities. You have a framework. That's mm-hmm. 1 Timothy. This is the church is a pillar and buttress of God, right? It's the
right.
household of God.
Right.
And households are to be ran a certain way. And so you see the imagery, right? That's how we get the church and family, the household of God. That's 1 Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a family, and it's led by a plurality of men. And they're to uphold the scriptures and teach the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do you do that? Okay, so that's kind of one image. Then your Hebrews 13:17, I'll read it, says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls. As those who'll have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning,
yeah.
for that would not be an advantage to you."
Yeah.
So it's saying God's going to hold accountable the people who lead you.
Yeah.
And so as the people who lead, we're trying to say, who are you? Who yeah. are those people?
Yeah.
Because we have to give an account.
That's an important distinction. I think that some people tend to think of a pastor as somebody who's like, man, they're responsible for everybody in the community and everybody
yep.
who goes. And that's not actually the way that the Bible describes the role of pastor.
Mm-mm.
You're entrusted with the people of God, with the church, and
yeah.
you're shepherding the people. And so it's very crucial then and important to know who are the sheep.
Who are the sheep, yes.
Yeah.
And so that formalized process kind of helps us know.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, we're committed, watch over us.
Yeah.
You're accountable for watching
yeah.
over us.
Yeah.
And so it formalizes it.
Right.
And I think that's where you can see the deductions in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I think somehow there's like a group of people that anything formal or structured, they want to kind of use that as leverage to say that's anti-Jesus or that's anti-the-Bible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like organic. We're all around a campfire and we're singing Kumbaya. It's
supposed to spontaneously.
Yeah, and then we yeah. just naturally come into these conversations and things. But that's not how it works.
Well, even in the early church, we don't see that.
No.
When you look at the book of Acts, for instance, going all the way back to the very beginning.
Very beginning.
They attached a numerical record to the people who came to Christ. Somebody
yep.
knew
yep.
and was able to report that at that first sermon with Peter at Pentecost, 3,000 people were added.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that 3,000, somebody came up with that number. Somebody knew that number, which means they were keeping a tally of it somehow. And they were able to, you know, later on, we see that they were tracking that growth. God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. So they knew who was there. Not only that, you have in Acts chapter 6, we see elections taking place with deacons. Mm-hmm. And these were to be chosen from among the people, which means they knew who those people were.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a formal process that was guided that helped them determine who these men were that were to serve in this way.
And then 1 Timothy writes down a little bit of that process.
Yeah. Exactly.
The elders have these qualifications, the deacons have these qualifications, and then the rest of the people, you know, men are to work, and the women are to not gossip, and they're to teach the younger women how to be wives, and the older men, and you're supposed to respect you. Like, it gives you a whole framework for how this works.
The clearest example we have of this is 1 Timothy chapter 5 about the widows.
Mm.
I mean, here's a literal example where, I mean, he literally says to enroll, that they're to create a list of those widows.
Yeah.
Who were to be a part of the support from the church so that the church knew who to give support to and who not to, like who was a part of them and who was not a part of them.
Yes.
And all of this, I mean, you just see it all throughout the New Testament that you know, there's this order among the body that's kept. And for crying out loud, I mean, we don't even have to mention Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, talking about when they gather together. That's the whole point of that passage. We like to focus on the speaking in tongues part and make it controversial. Right. No, he's talking about order, that our God is a God of order, and even when we gather together, it's to be done in
orderly,
a specific way and in an ordered fashion, because our God is a God of order.
Yeah, and I think that's where you look at Jesus, you look at the Bible, and it's structure and order are actually designed to be loving and kind.
That's right.
And that's kind of your 1 Corinthians 14. Chaos and people freaking out. And what's this? What's happening? What's being said? Why are we doing this?
No. Yeah.
That God says, no, that confuses people. Mm-hmm. It's like there needs to be order and structure. The word of God's to be taught. The people are to be loved, to help, love God more. Right. Everything's under the glory of God. So all we do is to help that. Well, chaos doesn't help that. Disorder doesn't help that. Not knowing who's here, who's not, who's a part of it doesn't. And so formalizing it says, okay, this matters so much. We need to do this responsibly, and we need to do this intentional.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's there.
Yeah, that's good. That's excellent. I love that. Let's talk a little bit more though about a pastor's responsibility. You mentioned Hebrews 13:7, which is a should be a terrifying call to anybody who aspires to the ministry.
It keeps me up at night.
Yeah. And so speak a little more to that. I mean, what is it, what does membership, like knowing just from a pastor's perspective, especially lead pastor, knowing who your church members are, those people who are committed, those who are under your care, knowing that, what does that do for you as a pastor when you think of ministering at LBC?
Personally. Okay, so personally, I'm gonna try to just be really, what's the right word? Honest.
This question on you, so you didn't prepare for this.
Yeah, and this isn't like out of a book answer.
Yeah,
this is like Eric's answer. So if people disagree with it, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I know on Sunday, there's a group of people that have signed and asked and kind of declared, teach the word of God and we're going to come listen.
Yeah.
Now, it's important to realize you're not preaching things you think they want to hear. Right? We're teaching the text, and the accountability is God. God holds us accountable, and God will judge us based on how well we do that.
Right.
So you're doing it knowing people are depending on you, but you're not doing it like for them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's word and it's being explained, and you're really doing it for him. You're speaking his words, his truth to these people. And so it's like a terrifying blend of you want to do right by these people who are depending on you.
Right.
But even greater than that is you want to get it right, because you're accountable before the Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
And where the two sometimes collide in an inappropriate way is, I love these people, I'm going to say things I think they want to hear because it'll make them feel good. Mm-hmm. And then you've denied, because what they're trusting you to do is to preach the word of God regardless of the culture, the circumstances, things that make you afraid or tempt you, is that you're going to stand in there and you're going to teach the word of God as taught, right? That's your 1 Timothy, Titus, teach the word as taught, right? Teach it bold. Don't let anyone look down on you. Teach the word of God, unadulterated, uncompromised. And so they're depending on you to do that. They're not depending on you to, hey, say something we like. Find the hot topic of the times.
Just scratch their itching ears.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not what you're doing.
Right.
And so it's this combination of they're depending on me to teach exactly what's written, right? That's that 1 Corinthians, do not go beyond what is written. And so that's the tough balance.
Yeah.
The second piece is when something's happening in someone's life, when I know you're a member of our church, I know like you've asked me to participate in helping you in that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Right.
I also know when your behavior is contrary to the scripture, you've communicated that you want help holding that line.
Yeah.
Right? And that doesn't come up a lot, but man, I'm grateful when it is. Like if I see a guy alone with a girl in a restaurant and they're married, but they're not each other's spouses.
And this has happened before.
It has happened before.
This is autobiographical.
And I've had to say, like, hey, you're a member of our church. You've asked me, and I need to know, like, why are you meeting with a woman alone that's not your wife?
Right.
And that sparked a very good conversation. And the response was, I mean, I've had two different responses, but we'll focus on one of them was, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. It's good to know people are watching. That was a coworker. We couldn't, someone dropped out of the meeting. We got left alone, you know, and it was like this, hey, thanks for paying attention to me. And then there's been, you know, the lies and the deceit.
Yeah.
But what happens is, hey, I'm going to now tell your wife.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, well, hey, you've asked me to do this.
For your good.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You've asked me to do this. And so we need to uphold our end.
Yeah.
And we need to do that. And so when the rubber hits the road, it's like, hey, we have an agreement.
Right.
The accountability and the watching over. And it's not Eric's personal rules, right? That's why it's laid out. And this is why you have bylaws and statements of faith and all these things. So they line it out. You're formally asking to be cared for in that way.
Yeah.
Same for, you know, when people say, hey, there's something going on in our family or in our marriage, you already know they've asked you to speak into that.
Yeah.
And so when you start, you may be having a disagreement in that meeting, maybe they want to have a divorce, and it's like, hey, you're a member of this church. You know that we don't have biblical grounds for a divorce.
Right.
Like, you can draw them back to holding the line. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it becomes helpful. So there's kind of the way I look at it is this group of people are depending that we're going to uphold the word of God, teach the word of God, and hold them to the word of God, and they formalize that, and we take that serious.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Along those lines, you know, we've been talking about the back end of Hebrews 13:15, which is, you know, that we have to give an account, that pastors are the ones who are keeping watch over the souls of their people. But the beginning of that verse is actually directed to the people, which is obey your leaders and submit to them.
Yeah.
For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. That obedience and submission is a common theme, not just in our walk with Jesus Christ, but it's also to be reflected in the church. So we walk under the authority of Christ. We acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what it means to be a believer.
Yeah.
We acknowledge him as Lord. We submit to his sovereign rule, and we seek to obey him because we love him.
Mm-hmm.
And that similar model, not in all the same ways, but right. but in a similar way, continually the Bible sets up pastors and elders as those who oversee, who are in authority over those whom God has put under their care. And it's on the church members to acknowledge that authority and submit and obey that authority because it's good for your soul when it's under godly men.
So,
so when it comes to what you're talking about, church discipline, those things, there's a direct connection between church membership that makes that process of church discipline, which is good.
Yes.
Which the Bible says, this is good for your soul. You need this. It's not, maybe it's scary, but it's good. It's church membership then, being identified as a member of a church, that enables and helps those leaders to exercise the proper church discipline and accountability that you're talking about.
So that matter, church discipline, that's good. So I was in a meeting with an elder and a woman, and she was communicating to me, her and her boyfriend were living together, and I was like, it doesn't make financial sense, and we can't afford it, and, you know, and so we're going through this, and I'll be honest with you, I was nervous, like, hey, you're not, I've already told you you're not supposed to do this, like, I don't know what else to tell you, she's upset.
Right.
The older elder that was with me is like, hey, this is your pastor that you're supposed to submit to, are you going to listen or not? And I was like, yeah, I did not have the courage to say that.
That's not the pace you were ready to go
at. No, I just wasn't. And she just kind of looked at him and said, you're right, you're right. And I was like, yeah, what he said, you know, like, but that's where it toes the line. What you're saying is in this kind of discipline.
It is that simple.
Yeah, fashion. And sure enough, we worked together.
Good.
And what we're trying to say is he is not covenanted with you.
Right.
He's not committed to you.
Right.
And he's not to have the benefits of marriage without the commitment and the covenant.
It's not good for you.
Not good for you. So we're trying to help you. Yeah. I know you think we're hurting because it's like, well, we got to get an apartment and somewhere else to live and it's more money and it's more bills. And it's like, well, no, he's getting the benefits without the commitment, and we can't do that. We don't want that for you. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a really good thing for her. Now, what happens when people don't listen? So I had a meeting with a guy, and he was kind of deep into pornography. And we start pressing this in, you know, your 1 Corinthians 7, and you're walking through it, and he's like, I just don't think it matters. And I'm like, the word of God doesn't matter. And, you know, long story short, he doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God.
So we're
walking through this. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to just kick this guy out of the church.
No.
So I was like, I'll give you a book, you give me a book. And so we're reading each other's books and we're coming down to it. And I'm like, so you really just don't believe in Jesus at all? He's like, no. I was like, you don't believe the Bible has any authority? It's like, no. And so you're like some type of quasi-Gnostic. He believes there's a God, but he can't really know, and not really sure he's communicated. He's not an atheist.
Right.
And so at that point, I had to say, well, then I can't call you a Christian. Like, I've confronted you, I've gone to you. And at this time, his wife has confronted him, other people of their small group. So it's at the last part of church discipline.
Right.
It's all the way to here. To me. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, I can't call you a Christian. He goes, well, that's good, because if you would have, I would have known you were a liar. He's like, because the Bible doesn't let me say what I'm saying.
True.
Right? And that you were just trying to appease me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, I never looked at that side of it.
That's honest.
But he knew what the Bible said.
Right.
And he's like, you can't call me a Christian when I don't believe what it says. And the Bible says that.
Right.
And so what we did is we went to the group and we had to say, hey, we don't think this man is a Christian. This is the treat him as a tax collector or a Gentile, right? So an unbeliever. Then what does an unbeliever need? They need the gospel. They need Jesus. Yeah. And so we removed him from, you know, he had a few roles in the church. So we removed him from those roles. We communicated that we don't think he's a Christian. So that means, hey, he needs the gospel. Mm-hmm. He needs Christ. So we evangelize But he was welcome to come.
Yeah.
But we were honest about definitions.
Yeah.
Because what happens, as the pastor, that's your job, is to keep that purity there. What happens is you let him run around. We say, oh, yeah, he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't believe anything the Bible says. He doesn't believe Jesus saves. That's a problem,
you
right?
You pray a prayer one day.
Yeah. And so this is why Titus says when if you have someone like that who's trying to say they're a Christian, it's, you know, Titus is like, hey, it's upsetting families.
Right.
And you're to rebuke him. Mm-hmm. Because people are going, that's not what a Christian does, and that's mm-hmm. not how it acts, and that's not what the Word of God says, and why is he here and in these roles? Fortunately for us, as we pressed down, he agreed.
Mm.
You're right, I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
The real hardship would have been if he was like, no, I am a Christian. I don't need the Bible. I don't need Jesus as my Savior. You know, I just believe Jesus was a good dude.
Right.
And I'm a good dude.
Right.
And then that's when it gets really hard. But that's the job of the pastor, is to protect, hey, people in the small group, he's not a Christian. Like, we've gone through this.
I think that's a part that gets missed in Matthew 18 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's, you know, that process that Jesus lays out, you know, for when someone's caught in sin.
Yeah.
When someone sins against their brother, and it's, you know, that whole, you know, bring, you know, when somebody's caught in that sin, then, you know, you confront them one-on-one, and then you bring a witness, and then you know, bring more people, and then you bring them before the whole congregation.
Yeah.
And if they still refuse to repent, you treat them as a tax collector
or
a sinner. And, you know, what's fascinating about that, I think, you know, I kind of grew up thinking that that was like punishment for your sin.
Yeah.
But the older that I get, I understand, no, that's a genius function that Jesus gave to us,
because
it accomplishes both tasks.
Mm-hmm.
It calls the true believer to repentance, which if they are a believer, eventually they will repent.
Yep.
It may not be immediately. It may take going before the whole church or sitting in the pastor's office and really being confronted. It may take years, you know, but at some point, if they're a true believer, I do believe they're going to repent. They're not going to be able to keep going.
Prodigals return.
So it either helps the believer to repent, in which case you can call him a brother, and that's proof that he belongs to Christ, or it helps to weed out those folks who either think that they're saved or who know they're not saved, but they're just going through it. It helps to identify those people who actually aren't of us, that are among the body. It kind of seems to have that dual function that works really well, but all of that within the context of being known.
Yeah.
And all of it is within that community and within that body. And that's, again, is what's so important about committing yourself to a local body. And, I mean, because we're all members of the universal church. We get that.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who is a believer, you're a part of the church, capital C.
Right.
But what we're talking about here is the local body and belonging to and becoming a member of a local body where you can commit to submit yourself under the authority of specific men
mm-hmm.
who you trust mm-hmm. to teach you the Word of God accurately and to keep watch over your soul, who you are willing to submit to, and to allow yourself to exercise your gifts and to be known and to know other people.
And be protected.
And to be,
because there is a, hey, we watch over who's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We watch over the worship. Do we watch over what gets sung
about
in our,
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Do we watch over what gets sung in our church?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we make sure that what happens is God glorifying and God edifying, defendable in Scripture.
Right.
So that you can send your kids to Sunday school, you can go to a Bible study, and that the proper things will be taught.
Yeah.
And, you know, too many times you hear stories of someone's at a church and someone starts teaching something crazy, and the elders will kind of take a position of, you know, well, we diversity and unity, you know, and that's loving. Well, they're upset because, like, I don't think the Bible says that, and I don't think that's true. And then it turns into, you know, if you're don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Like, you just mentioned tongues earlier, right? And so there's like, whoa, now we're adding salvation. Where's that coming to? And I don't know. And that the leaders won't do anything. Can we trust them? And so that's why when you formally commit, you're saying, this is what I can expect, this is what will be upheld, and if you've been here long enough, you can see, like, just going back from Pastor Roger, you know, 25 I think something odd years to now, it's the same doctrine, it's the same things.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
And that's because It's been upheld well,
yeah,
and consistently. And I'm thankful that I get to stand on that man's faithfulness, and our church continues. And you're seeing people that have been here, you know, 40 years, and they're like, yeah. this is the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, for those people who do struggle with, you know, why do I have to sign a commitment? Why do I have to do this? Why can't I just show up? I hear that. But, you know, really what we're talking about here is we're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
the body of Christ, of which he is the head.
Yep.
We're talking about the fact that, you know, we've shared this before. You can't really apply any of the New Testament imperatives,
yeah,
outside of community, outside, mm-hmm, of the body of Christ. It all is to be done within the community and within the body of Christ, where we exercise these one another's. But also, I think that kind of reveals, and this might hurt for a lot of people, maybe I'll get some emails, but I think it does kind of also reveal your attitude towards the church itself. Yeah. Because we can tend to, and I think a lot of people come by this honestly, we live in a very consumerist,
yeah,
culture and society, and unfortunately, I think we typically take that same attitude, that consumer mindset, to church as well, without recognizing, you know, so in other words, if the church doesn't offer a good enough product, I'll take my business elsewhere.
Yeah.
If you don't give me everything that I want or everything that I'm looking for, we're trying this church out, and in some cases, that's a good thing. You need to see if it's, yeah, a good fit, and you need to see, are these elders, mm-hmm, that I can submit to? But a lot of times what people mean is, I just want to go someplace that fits my personality and
niche. I want to have a style of church that I agree with, and then I'll call it submitting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
that's a good way of putting it.
That's maybe, sounds harsh, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I trust the leadership. I trust this. What you're saying is, I trust that they think just like I do.
Yeah.
And then when I don't, I leave.
Yeah.
And so the membership piece is kind of formalizing, when that disagreement happens, I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, when does that pop up? Good example, when I just taken over small groups at LBC, mm-hmm, I transitioned from the high school pastor to like adult ministries, and there was a book by Rob Bell, and they were going through, you know, Velvet Elvis.
Yeah.
And there was this disagreement between them and I, and it was, well, we think, you know, he's a good dude, and it's a good book, and I'm like, he doesn't believe in absolute truth. And they're like, he doesn't say that. I'm like, well, he kind of does. You know, yeah, he says that like truth is like a spring. It bends and it moves and it folds. It's not like a brick, which is concrete. I'm like, the definition of absolute truth is concrete, doesn't move, right? Like,
that's the definition.
And so it was like, yeah, okay, pastor, I disagree with you, but you're my pastor. I'm going to submit, and we'll find a different book,
yeah,
right? So they went and we agreed, and it was good. And so it came out in, even when we disagree, God's placed you to do that.
Right.
And it's really, I'm trusting the Lord to use you to help me.
Yeah.
That's really kind of how it works.
The way of putting it.
And we've seen it come in worship. Mm-hmm. Hey, John, why don't we sing this?
Right.
And you're like, hey, well, and you walk it through and they're like, oh, I don't know, but they seem like nice guys and this and that. And it's like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, you're my leader. I'm going to trust you. And we'll not do that.
Right.
And so it comes up and it really gets tested. And that's why membership formalizes that. Mm-hmm. It's not there for the things you already agree about. Right.
That's a good way of putting it.
Right. Yeah. It's there for the things you're like, hey, but, yeah, but I want to, and I think I,
yeah,
and God says, hey, I put people in place for their moment. Those, mm-hmm, moments where you want to kind of maybe go somewhere dangerous or invite, mm-hmm, something not safe. He says, I've put men there to protect and uphold. And if they do it wrong,
mm-hmm,
God says they're going to be accountable. I'll take care of that.
And that really gets to the heart of covenant, of, mm-hmm, the power of a covenant, that when things get rough, when, mm-hmm, things get crazy, when you don't quite understand, you don't just jump ship. You don't, yeah, just, you don't just bail out. It's,
nope,
it's, that's what helps you stick it out and what, yeah, helps you stay with it. And, you know, I think the biggest blessings, people miss out on so many blessings, whether it's in marriage relationships or whether it's, you know, their relationship to the church. They miss out on so many blessings when they don't stick it out.
Yeah,
and
true.
when they don't just, you know, stick it out as much as possible when things get rough, because this is my family, or because this is where I've covenanted, this is my home. Things may be rough, but I'm going to stick it out.
Yeah.
And I think God blesses that.
It does. You know,
for the good of the church. And I think that's what helps grow us from the inside out, to build that endurance that God seeks to teach us. All of that happens, you're right, not through the good times, not when we agree, but typically that comes through hardship and when we disagree. And it's the covenant. It's that covenant that we make together that helps to keep us in it.
Yep.
And that's where we end up finding the greatest blessings.
Yeah, I think we have a group of people here who we went through some rough times together. Mm. And I think we all praise the Lord that, you know, the Bible is still being taught.
Yeah.
There's just some rough things going on.
Yeah.
And it was, well, why are we here? Well, we're here to glorify God. We're here because God is sovereign and Christ died for us, and we're here to do this together.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're going to do this together when it's hard, some maybe weird things, bad things. But Christ died, God's sovereign, and we're together in this.
Amen.
And we did it. And we look now and we're like, whoa, look at what the Lord did, right? Look at how the Lord added to our number. The Lord rebuilt, the Lord strengthened, the Lord provided. And we get to see that together.
Yeah.
As a pastor, I just thank the Lord, like, I've got to be here long enough to see these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I was always nervous because the only thing I knew young is that pastors move around.
Yeah,
you know, they got to go here and then you got to go there. And I was like, God, I'm not that guy who can just show up and people like him. Like, I need to be somewhere a while, and, you know, and I don't kind of,
I've got a face for radio.
Yeah. I got a radio face, God. I can't be there and go to a new place. And the Lord has been very gracious that I've got to stay here a long time and just see what happens when a group of people move together and they trust God's word and they stand underneath that authority. And the pieces change, but God's sovereignty remains.
That's right.
And you get to see the fruit of that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to answer your counter or affirm your point.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. So when it comes to, if people are listening to this right now, when it comes to LBC, what does it look like to become a member here? Let's just put that out there in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah, so we have a few things. As we've grown, we've realized we need to have what we call a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like, who is LBC? What do we offer? What things are going on? Just so you can kind of see what do we offer as a church, to see how you can get involved.
Yeah.
Because I think becoming a member, at a minimum, you've been here long enough to know the teaching from the pulpit. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can hear it. The people, what they offer, children, Bible studies. Right. So you've gone through that and you're like, okay, I could plant roots. I could stay. Then membership class. We go through, it's two classes. Mm-hmm. We go through the statement of faith. So you're clear. This is what we believe about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, you know, about who rules the church, about marriage, about hell, about heaven, you know, all the things. Okay, I can expect that. That's what's going to happen. If I want to teach, this is what it is. And then it walks through expectations of, this is what a member does, your expectations of us. This is what the elders and pastors are supposed to do. And we just kind of walk through all that so that when you get to formalizing it, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
The last part is there's an interview and a testimony. Mm. So you give your testimony, and there's usually an elder pastor or two elders that will listen and ask questions and kind of hear your story and where you're at. And it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you know the gospel, you're a Christian, you're agreeing to these things, welcome to the family.
Yeah.
And then what we've tried to do is let the whole body know, like, here's the people being added to the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bigger we get, the more strategic we got to be. You know, how can we do that? And so I would say we're always trying to find ways for people to realize, like, who's part of the family?
Mm-hmm.
So we can know. And that's part of, I think, God's gift. It's like, oh, hey, that kid goes to our church. He's so-and-so's. Mm-hmm. We should, you know, maybe they need help, or maybe their parents should know they're here and they shouldn't be, you know, whatever that is. And that's that blessed who's in the family.
Yeah.
We're helping each other out. We're in this together. So we try to make the family aware.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
and then great. We have, you know, family business meetings where you come and there's things we vote on, like budgets and elders and pastors and those kinds of things. And then there's updates, because, you know, on Sunday morning, We're dedicated to worship and teaching God's word and fellowship. Yeah. And so there's that, hey, as a family member, I want to know, like, what are the needs? What's going on? Right. What are we looking at? What's happening? And so we'll try to communicate more family details in that platform instead of, you know, Sunday morning. That's for His glory.
And we
run a very tight ship with that. Because we're held accountable to Hebrews 13, right? And neither of us want to be like, well, God, there was just a lot of things to talk, you know?
I don't want to have that conversation.
I don't want to have it either, you know? So so that's that platform for that we encourage people to participate.
That's good. That's great. And if you're ever here on a Sunday morning, talking to the listeners, if you're ever here on a Sunday morning and, you know, you just want to talk to somebody about it. Find anybody, virtually anybody with a lanyard, but, you know, certainly any of the pastors, any of the elders, anybody at the information booth would love to give you all that information. And you can find it on our website as well at laurelglen.org about our membership process and what that looks like. I think one of my favorite things, I'll just wrap up with this.
Okay.
One of my favorite things is, you know, even if you are attending LBC and, you know, talking with any of our pastors or talking with us about, you know, if, you know, whether or not you should be a member here at LBC, what I love is there have been many occasions where, you know, we've sometimes determined, you know what, I think another church would be a better fit for this person.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we can actually, because the point isn't, you know, to do all things for the sake of LBC. We're thinking Big C Church as well.
Yep.
And there are potentially other churches where if you can't fully get on board here or you can't fully maybe trust the leadership here, that's fine. Because there are plenty of other Bible-believing churches that we would love to point you to that maybe would be a better fit, a place where your gifts could be better used.
Or, yeah.
You know, we're not afraid to do that because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just really appreciate that about you guys as well. I know that you've specifically said that to people before.
Well, because there's two mindsets.
Yeah.
Grow my church at any cost. Or how do I love these people best?
Right, exactly.
And sometimes you realize like, this might not be good for you.
Right.
And I want you to grow and love the Lord, and this could be a barrier in there. And it would be better for you to go here because that would help you flourish in your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So I think for us, we're very committed to that. That's why we try to go through, you know, an interview process where we go through your testimony, where are you, and ask intentional questions. And, you know, sometimes it'd be like, hey, I don't, you know, we're not going to speak in tongues in the service, right? And okay, well, I need to ask you that you would not do that.
Sure.
You know, because when I read 1 Corinthians 14, you're going to disrupt the service, and it's going to bring eyes on you, and it's going to take eyes away from the Lord. And
plus, we got no one to interpret. So.
Yeah. So we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
And, oh, pastor, I submit and I agree, you know, but when I go home, I'm like, hey, you want to pray at home? And I said, but I can't have you disrupting it here.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, that wasn't a stumbling block.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For someone else, they might be, well, then I have to do it in the public worship. And it's like, you know what? Not only would this be better for you, like we really disagree with that stance.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And there would never be a time where I even preach that that's an option.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
We're not calling you an unbeliever or something that. It's just,
but when we get to Acts 2, I'm
going to
say that they were speaking in a known language and that they were. And that known language was used for them to accept Christ because the gospel is being preached.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And getting into a whole other podcast episode now.
Exactly.
Just do it on tongues. I don't think
you mentioned it and it just kept sticking there in my head. So it's my first example. But we'll have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not willing to say, yeah, hey, we totally disagree. Who cares? Just come on in, you know, join our team.
Right.
And it's like, hey, now we got a charismatic added to the list and look at our diversity. And it's like, no, that person's going to get frustrated.
Yeah.
Unless what I'm hearing in this instance was like, no, pastor, I'm fine. I love you guys. I love the teaching. I love the people. That is not so big to me that it'll disrupt my ability to be here and support. And I won't teach contrary to.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so again, the membership part is what fleshed that out.
Yeah.
And we had an opportunity to get there.
That's good. That's good. Well, hopefully, listeners, you've been encouraged by that. Hopefully, you've learned something. There's a lot to be said for membership. And even though, hopefully what you've heard, even though it's not explicitly stated in the Bible, it's implied everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It is everywhere, all over the scriptures. It's what allows for proper accountability. It's what allows for church discipline. It's membership that allows for a real covenant of belonging to the body, of being able to practice that regular rhythm of obedience and submission to authority, which is what God expects of his people. And in all of these things, it's within the church body that you're able to truly flourish and grow the way that God has intended for you to grow. It's within the context of the community of the body of Christ. And so membership is simply covenanting to commit and to come under the headship and leadership of the pastors and the elders of this church. And it is making yourself known to the body as a follower of Jesus Christ, who is to be supported, who is to be protected, who is to be helped, and who is to be held accountable. All of this is not for the glory of LBC. It's Mm-mm. for your good,
yeah,
and for God's glory,
mm-hmm.
That his church would flourish and that his church would remain pure. We all need it. We all need the accountability, the discipline, the support, every one of us, yep. including Pastor Eric.
That's
we
right.
We all need it. And so church membership is an excellent way for you to commit and for you to invite all of that into your life in full. And so we would just encourage every one of you, if you're attending LBC regularly and you have not made that commitment, maybe you just don't believe in it, or maybe it's just something you've never really given a lot of thought to. Hopefully this is, you know, kind of reshaped the conversation for you to seriously consider whether or not God is calling for you to fully commit here at LBC by becoming a member and submitting to that process. We truly hope so. If that's the case, reach out to the church office. You know, you can find it online. If you have questions about when that first Starting Point class is, I believe it's every first Sunday of the
month. Yep.
During the 10 o'clock hour?
Yep.
Okay. Every first Sunday of the month during the 10 o'clock hour, we have that Starting Point class that was mentioned. And that's just a great overview
yep.
of this is who we are as LBC. And you can ask questions and you can, you know, be a part of that whole process, and that'll help you get kickstarted. But you can go online to laurelglen.org and look at our membership process. That'll explain all those things, or find somebody with a lanyard on Sunday morning. We'll help you out. We would love to get you connected and love to help you be a part of and experience what it is to be a full-fledged member of Laurel Glen Bible Church. And if not here, hopefully we can help you somewhere else.
So. Yeah, and hopefully hear us. We're still going to care about you.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
still going to pray for
Absolutely.
You, meet with you if you ask, visit you in the hospital.
Right.
What we're saying is what we see in Scripture is formalizing that relationship right. helps everybody know.
Well said. The LBC Podcast is a ministry of Laurel Glen Bible Church here in Bakersfield, California. If you don't have a place where you're worshiping every Sunday, we would love to worship with you. So come and join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10 a.m. We would love to worship with you. We also have activities all throughout the week, whether it's Bible studies, we got splash bashes going on in the summer with junior high and high school, all kinds of really fun stuff that's always pointing every age and every stage towards the glory of God that we find in his word. And so we want you to know God, and we want you to know others, and we want you to be known and to know that joy. So reach out to us if you need anything at all at laurelglen.org, or you can call our church office and we would love to get back with you. Thank you so much for watching and or listening, and we will see you back again. God bless.